All right, guys, we are back for episode 17 of the Hustle Podcast. And it's been a while since Dylan's joined us, but I kind of been thinking of bringing back some of our thoughts and
the OGs,
the OGs, the people behind this, just to really talk a lot about what we see on a day-to-day basis. We talk a lot in this podcast about the hustle, the grind, building something, building momentum. And today we just really want to focus on a lot of questions we get as realtors in our industry. What does the next 5 years look like? You know, should I be buying? Should I be selling? So I thought it'd be really cool to give both of ours perspective in how Dylan sees the market, how I see the market, to hopefully give you some kind of guidance as to maybe what your next step should be. Mm-hmm. So a lot of both of us have heard people in this locked-in effect. They have a 3%, maybe even a 2.5%. They're just married to their interest rate, but they also feel equally stuck mm-hmm. in the idea of how do I move forward out of this house to afford something better? But I'm now so used to this $1,200, $1,500 payment. Mm-hmm. So over the next 5 years, obviously we're not genies. This is just kind of merely what we feel. What are you kind of seeing as your best advice for those people that are kind of stuck in that locked in effect right now?
Yeah, it's hard. I think that's happening a lot lately where people have a really low interest rate and they want to either upsize or even downsize. Sometimes they're going from a bigger home with a low interest rate down to a smaller home with a higher interest rate. And they're saying, why would I, if the payment's the same, why would I do that? You know, so there's a lot of that going on. But yeah, it's hard because, I think if you were to wait, you know, wait for interest rates to come down, you're just going to be competing with people that are also waiting for the same thing. So it's this weird kind of, we're in this weird purgatory of, you know, everyone's kind of waiting. I think it's just going to keep making demand, just keep building up and building up, and the supply is not keeping up with it. So it's hard.
Those people with those locked in.
Yeah, people aren't going
to literally
sell.
Just holding onto their house, which is holding on to the inventory that everybody's dying to have.
Yep.
And as soon as those people with the lock in effect say, interest rates are at least better where I would consider selling. Mm-hmm. It's just also going to, my thought process is going to be a snowball effect for everybody else thinking the same thing.
Right. It's almost like a perfect storm. You're just waiting for, everyone's waiting for the same, you know, same thing to happen. And then once that thing happens, whether it comes down to 6%, 5%, whatever that number is that breaks that, there's a few different ideas of what number that is, but we'll see, I guess, what that number is. But yeah, it's almost like you almost have to be somewhat of a contrarian when it comes to timing the market. And you know, a lot of times it's your personal situation. It's not like, oh, I'm going to time the market to be like the most financial wizard that I can be. It's just sometimes you need to upgrade or downgrade or whatever you need to do. What are your thoughts? I mean, we're kind of going into like a trending down interest rate market, but it seems like it's holding kind of at that, you know, high sixes, low sevens for a while now.
I definitely would say 2023 was a very volatile year for interest rates. We saw them go as high as 8%, and it just felt like a screeching halt to anybody wanting to buy.
Or all of our grandparents were like, well, back in my day, it was 18%. And it's like, well, yeah, you bought your house for a bag of nickels back then, you know?
Yeah. Which felt like a lot back then.
It felt like a lot back then. But
it's all perspective. And I think, you know, 2023 was a very volatile year. We saw 7-8%. It was all over the map. And I think people were just trying to find some consistent rhythm to say, okay, if this is the new norm, I can accept this and I can jump into it. But what's interesting is even in the Shasta County market back in 2023, which is, you know, crazy, we're now in 2024 of February. Back in 2023, depreciation of everybody thinking houses were just losing, their value. Yes, I mean, we saw price drops. We saw people getting air quotes good deals, potentially, depending on the desperate situation of the seller. But overall, appreciation didn't change that much drastically. I mean, we maybe saw like a negative 2-3% interest.
And it was a short period of time, too. It wasn't
even. Well, year to date, looking at all of the median sales price, it was a change of about, I don't have it exactly in front of me, but close to around 3%, negative 3%. And what's interesting is after December of 2023 and moving into January as our market summary of January of 2024, we had a 30% increase in pending sales. And I think that really took a turn. One, holidays were over, but two, I really think that interest rates started to become a consistent of we're in the sixes. And once interest rates hit to mid to maybe even high sixes, people felt like they could start not guessing, but seeing a pattern that, okay, this is where it's going to be at. So those buyers that were savvy or those buyers that found the affordability said, I can see the opportunity with what inventory is on the market and jump in and then get a good deal out of the seller. I mean, right now, the buyers that are in this market right now, February of 2024, and saying, hey, I can work with a 6% interest rate, and the seller is equally still motivated to move their product because they have a divorce, changes in job, whatnot. I mean, we're still seeing people that are getting like $15,000 credits on the houses. And it's still...
It's more of an even balanced market.
Even balance, yeah. I mean, there's houses that you and I have written on and it's been multiple offers. And I think those are the prices, homes that are priced just under to create that urgency for those buyers out there. So I think that's more of a strategic pricing.
Yeah.
That just gets the result of the seller a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So moving into 5 years from now, I mean.
Yeah, it's like the way I see it, it's like I don't see it any other way other than prices just going up in the next, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years, just because of the what we're going through right now. You know, builders are not keeping up with demand. So that's a you can't just build, you know, a million homes at the drop of a hat. You have it takes time. You
and
know?
I also think that builders backed off a lot in 2023
because scared.
It was like scared, like who's going to buy my inventory at 7-8%. So I'm going to like slowly build. And it's interesting for a while. We and I know that we have new builders like D.R. Horton's in our area.
Yep, they're big builder. Yep.
Big developer. And they won't they will only list a house until it's like 30 days out. They're not like previously where we would have different contractors like Palomar when they were still in, where it was like it was a pre-market, lots for sale, houses going up, pick your customizations, all this stuff. And now the tone's so much different of like when the house is almost ready to go because cost change, building costs went up. And so instead of almost underselling, they're now selling at more of like, hey, this is actually true cost value and I can be sure of this number to recoup my cost. But yeah, builders stepped out for a while.
Yeah. And then the longer rates are a little bit higher. I feel like, you know, people are coming out of college, people are, you know, having kids and they're looking for their, okay, what's our first home going to look like? Those people are pushing pause, just like everyone else is kind of waiting for this magical rate to hit the market. And it doesn't seem like it's that long, but the longer that rates are higher or escalated, in the way I see it is just, it's going to take a long time to fulfill that demand the longer that we go down this road. So I wish we could buy every house that we could ever, you know, that we could see, but you know, that's just not realistic. But it's like, I feel like the next 10 years are going to be very, very good in real estate appreciation. Not good if you're hoping that for prices to crash, but the next 24 months, who knows, but yeah, next 10 years.
Well, and I think if you even just look at the national kind of overlook on how the Fed's even handled inflation, all of this has been driven by, everybody knows that, you know, is in the news and in you know, the economy report is all driven by pulling down inflation. Our dollar spend, our spending as a Fed,
everyone's feeling that
way out of control post COVID. It was basically like free money at that point. And now it's just this backtrack cycle of how do we get ourselves out of this high inflation report. But it still goes back that even in 2023, what felt like the worst year of interest rates ever for a long time, still proved that the housing market was strong. I mean, sales were still happening. Yes, they were significantly less, but sales were still happening. And people that had the equity in their house either pulled out or they hold on to their house because they don't need to sell. Yeah. And the people that did sell obviously had a reason, diapers, divorce, you know, job changes and everything like that. And so I think what the Fed was hoping to achieve out of higher interest rates, yes, compressed the market, but there was still kind of like still momentum from savvy homeowners who just then buckled down and held on to their homes, or buyers who jumped in and saw an opportunity.
Right. It's kind of funny to think that rates were in the threes, under threes for years, you know, for probably 2 years there, it was under 3%. And it's just crazy to think that it's like when you're in the moment, you don't feel like this is some crazy, amazing opportunity.
We bought our house at a 5% interest rate and we thought we didn't know anything different.
Yeah, we were like, oh, five.
And then it went down to 4 and then went down to 3. And
then we refinanced twice or three times.
We refinanced twice.
Yeah.
And we were like 5 and then we went to, I think, 3
something.
And then when it was like the free money 2%, we're like, okay.
We'll refinance. One more time.
One more time.
But it's funny that when you're in that situation, it's like, it's just normal. Mm-hmm. Like when rates were 2.5%, it was like, oh, that's just the going rate. Now people would kill for a 2.5% rate. It's just funny that now the benefit is you're not fighting with 15 other people to buy a house.
Right.
So it's like, it's one or the other. And it's just interesting to say, okay, in this time right now that we're in, what's the advantage as a seller and a buyer? You know, there's advantages to both. Advantage to a seller right now is there's not very many homes competing against you. So when you go to list a house and you have a pool and you're on the west side, you're realistic with your price. You might be the only person with that set of, you know, amenities.
And somebody jumps in.
And someone, you know, you have 4 people that want that house. Whereas, you know, when rates were low,
everybody was selling.
There'd be this dinker house on the, you know, in the middle of nowhere that's got 15 offers on it. And it's just like, it wasn't really sustainable, you know, but yeah, that's kind of, I see that as being kind of the benefit right now is that you can get that credit, you can get that repair done, you can maybe get the roof replaced because it's shot, you know, things like that.
Or the seller inventory can stand out, you know, if it's a really good product that comes on the market and realistic.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, going back to just all the ebbs and flows of like the interest rate market, I mean, we're not genies and we don't have like a crystal ball.
It broke.
But I really think that in this year, like last year was trying to set a reset of appreciation of what feels normal and the ebbs and the flows and the fluctuation. If everybody wants to compare it to like the housing market crash, our inventory, if you look at it back then, was so much significantly higher that when everybody was like, hey, I just am hoping for a crash, I'm like, what crash? Like we have no inventory to crash. Like our market right now is at like inventory of like, I think in Shasta, in like the Redding, Shasta County area, like 476 homes.
Yeah.
Like it's
historically very, very low.
It's historically very low. And we're slowly recovering. And I think as much as people hope for a crash or they hope for price drops and whatnot, I'm like, we want to build back the market in a sustainable way where homes appreciate sustainably over, you know, they're projecting over the next 3 or 4 years that homes will go at a normal 4 to 5%, you know, appreciation, interest rates.
I saw that list where Reading was at the top of the list.
Reading was
like 7% or something.
Yeah, Reading on CoreLogic came out and said that of January of 2024, that they would be the number one city nationwide to appreciate to 7%. Now, some could say they're making up for the 3% change that we had year to date of 2023, but we still have a margin gap increase. And I think as, you know, our area continues to develop, we continue to be on the map, will be interesting to see how that number supports over the time. I think California is getting very expensive. It's always been really expensive, but you can still.
Redding's like the last little
hope.
Glimmer of hope.
But I think you can still move up here and find something affordable. Find, you know, we have a Sprouts, we have a Chick-fil-A,
we are on the map, people.
You know, yeah, you know, we do. But I mean, you can come up here and still find an affordable lifestyle in general. And those that are feeling like they're getting pushed out of Redding are going to a more conservative, you know, state or a different area that has different taxes that I think kind of relieves, you know, the more conservative side of California up here. But yeah, I think in over the next 5 years, I really think that, you know, we'll still kind of see a recovery and appreciation back to a normal pace, taking out the anomaly year that we had post COVID, where it was like
crazy,
an unsustainable amount of 10-12%. And I think interest rates, although they've ebbed and flowed, it's going to be returning back to a normal mindset for a buyer of what interest rates are really probably more likely going to be at. They say predict that maybe at the end of the quarter, the end of the year, we'll be at a 5, which might even look like a 5.99. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I personally think we're going to be in the mid sixes this entire year.
Yeah, it kind of just seems like it's like case by case. So it's like as soon as the new data comes out, it's like, well, no, we're not going to do anything yet. Or, you know, they're anyone who said, oh, we're gonna be at 5% by, it's like they don't know.
No, I mean, it's all prediction and everybody keeps changing it. But I personally think the election will obviously have a big factor in everything. Mm-hmm. I think this year will kind of be a steady.
Election years are always hard. It's just everything's up in the air kind of.
And I think this year will be a steady like 6 range, you know. We might peak a little bit into like the low 7s, but I think 6s will kind of be like the number. Mm-hmm. And then I think 2025 will be really the turnover year of where we're in like the 5s, maybe even hit the 4s. Just so that we kind of flesh out this whole, like, you know, everybody's eyes are on the inflation report and what we're doing as an economy and adjusting. It's like, I feel like once the feds can breathe and be like, okay, we're back to a normal, healthy economy. Yeah. Now it's not this like, you know, micromanaging then over.
Hopefully slowly bring it down. So it's not slowly. Like a feeding frenzy.
Not like post-pandemic again.
Oh yeah. I don't think we could survive that.
Yeah. So any other thoughts for
the No, I'm curious what people think about what the future of real estate looks like in the next 5 years. I don't know if we're doing comments below, but if you're commenting on this
or shoot us a DM. You know, if you're listening, we'd love to like, you know, chat with you. We obviously are experts in what we have grown to know our market, but every market is different. So this is some hyper local, and then this is some national. So if you are in a different area, different state, different country, check with your local expert.
If someone from a different country is listening to us right now, we have made it.
We have Belgium, Germany, and Canada.
Hello from Reading.
But anyway, we would love to be the experts in your corner if you are in the Shasta County area. Just talking what we feel that we see on a day-to-day basis with our clients and transactions that we have. But if you have any other real estate questions, we're always here. So thanks for tuning in to the Hustle Podcast with a special guest of Dylan.
Great to be back.
Talking about the next 5 years in real estate. We'll catch you on the next episode.
See you soon.